The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, thinks about the Harden situation in a few minutes. I love when he comes on First Take. He's always smiling and everything. And I just know in a matter of moments, he's going to wipe that smile right off his face.
Yeah, I don't know, Max. He texted me earlier. He said, man, Max better be ready. He better look out. He got some heat for you, man.
I love it. What a grumpy Santa Claus this dude is. He slid down that chimney, and someone drank his milk and ate his cookies. Ooh, always got that face twisted up in a scowl. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Celtics, the new beast of the East. The Freak had 18 points in the fourth quarter, and they were down a bunch at TD Garden on the road, you know. But the NBA's two-time reigning MVP, and also was Defensive Player of the Year one of those seasons, all he was thinking about afterwards was a shot he didn't hit, 0.4 seconds left, what should have been a goaltend. There was a foul committed before the goaltending. And so rather than it in automatically in overtime, he now has to go to the line to hit two free throws. By the way, it was after Tatum had hit the go-ahead three in his face, in the Freak's face. Very impressive that Tatum got that room that he needed to, you know, against the Greek Freak with his length and athletic ability. That's something that Tatum was able to do that. The fact that the shot went in, don't tell me that dude called glass. You know, he was lucky. The shot was off, it hit glass, and it went in. And it was still a hell of a move even to get there, you know, for Tatum to create the space. But, you know, they got a little unlucky on the shot, the Bucks did, and then they got a little unlucky on the call because the foul occurred before the goaltend. So, and then the Freak got a little unlucky at the line, hit the first one, missed the second. And then they got a little unlucky, no offensive rebound. The thing about missing a free throw is that you could recover the ball. Nope, didn't happen. So all that added up to it, the Celtics, by the skin of their teeth, beating the Bucks, who are integrating new players, don't forget. Like, even though Drew Holiday is a help on paper, it's not exactly the team they had last season. Whereas the Celtics are playing without guys, but it's not like, you know, who did they have to integrate? Tristan Thompson? But that's really more on defense than offense, let's be honest. Meantime, Jaylen Brown is the revelation on the Celtics. The fact that he has elevated to, you know, you think of the Celtics, you go, ooh, two nice wings that they have, young guys on the come up. But Tatum is the guy you look at. Even a couple of years ago, you said, that guy has the potential, the offensive game, to be the number one option on a championship-caliber team one day. And Jaylen Brown does a lot of things nicely, but no one thing so well, you're like, yeah, he's going to be a superstar. But he might be a superstar. Like, Jaylen Brown's really good and really young and getting better. And if that can, like, what's better in basketball to have on your team? Even in this day and age of primary ball handlers controlling the game, like LeBron and Luka and Damian Lillard and Steph Curry and all those guys, right? Kyrie Irving. You know what's even better than that? A dominant two-way wing. To me, it is. If you're truly dominant. We don't really have one in the league right now, right? Like, who's a dominant two-way wing? You go, the closest thing is Kawhi. But Kawhi is not quite the offensive player, say, that Kobe Bryant was, right? Obviously not that Michael Jordan was. He's the closest, but he is a defensively, he's right there with anyone who ever lived. But offensively, he's not quite the scorer those guys were. So we don't really have that guy in the league right now. Devin Booker on offense. Whoa. If Devin Booker was like a little taller and a little more athletic, he'd be that guy. But he might be the closest thing on the offensive end. Kevin Durant. KD, right? There's a two-way wing. Just because he's 7 feet, he's a wing. What would you rather have? And by the way, LeBron's a two-way wing. That thing about LeBron that makes it nuts is he does the Luka, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry thing, right? Like, he orchestrate the offense, and he's a two-way wing like that. And that's why when you look at the best players, the guys you want are LeBron, KD. And if Giannis could be a little better in the playoffs, Giannis. But Giannis is really a big dressed up as a wing. Anyway, Jaylen Brown is still getting better and is still very young. What's he, 23? Got to look that up. Raj, why don't you look that up so I don't have to bring my phone too close to the computer while I'm also doing a radio show. I know you're putting your DraftKings team in, but try to. I know we got the Christmas slate coming tomorrow. After I take all your guys' money all year in DraftKings on in football, I now have to rise to the occasion and beat you all in basketball, too.
And you know my man Steve Mason out in L.A. already hit me up. Hey, we got it up. So, you know, he's ready. Yeah, he's 24 years old, by the way, Jaylen Brown.
Okay, 24. He should still be getting better. It looks like he is.
Like, he just turned 24, too, not too long ago. So,
I'm not saying that this stat is the best stat there is, but offensively, for bigs, the PER really favors bigs because they take nothing but, you know, especially the ones who aren't that good offensively because they take all efficient shots in the paint, right? But they can't get their own shot. They can't shoot from the outside. They're very dependent upon teammates for their offense. You know, their rim rollers, all that kind of stuff. But for non-bigs, PER is a very good offensive stat. It gives you a pretty good idea of how good a player is offensively. And if Jaylen Brown can become like, to give you an idea of what PER, like average, league average is 15. That's an average player. You're a starter. If you have a PER of 20 or better, if you're a non-big, you're an all-star a lot of years, 18 to 20. Anything over 20, you start to get in 25 area, you start to get into the MVP conversation. When you're close to 30, you're an MVP for sure, like in that conversation. There may be another guy who gets it instead of you, but if you're putting up as a non-big a PER of 27, 28, because we're talking about efficiency offensively, and that means how many, it's really an offensive stat. You're talking about how many possession, like how valuable you are per possession to your team's offense mainly. You know, your true shooting percentage, your rebounds, your assists, all that kind of stuff. If Jaylen Brown becomes a, like, 25 PER kind of player on offense, oh, the Celtics are going to be a problem. And that's what he was last night. That's what he looked like. Hey, Giannis, what happened on that final sequence with the foul and the missed free throws?
And then I told you just throw the ball high. Throw it high and try to go get it. We have 0.4 seconds. Just if you don't see if Chris is not wide open, if Dante's not wide open, I think Pat's not wide open. Just throw the ball high and try to go get it. Probably made the first one, missed the second one. You know, that was it.
The new look Suns, by the way, now with Chris Paul. What team got better than the Suns in the offseason? Understand, they went 8-0 in the bubble. 8-0. And they added Chris Paul and didn't really take anything away. And Jay Crowder. Now, Jay Crowder can't be expected to shoot the three like he did last year in Miami, but he can shoot the three. I used to play this game with friends and with myself because, you know, on planes and stuff, I get bored. And I would, here's the game. You are, you have to construct a team that really legit can compete for a championship. The rules are you cannot take a top 10 player and you have to stay under the salary cap. But you can choose anyone you want in the NBA. No one's off limits, just not a top 10 player and under the salary cap. That's very hard to create a team where you're like, yeah, I think they can win a championship. Usually you need that focal point type player to win a championship to be really, really good, right? So back then, when, you know, like Paul George, a lot of people didn't consider a top 10 player. Let's say, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, 5 years ago. I was like, I don't know, Paul George, start with that and, you know, Nick Batum back then before he got paid. Jay Crowder was one of my dudes always. When I thought about that, I'd be like, any team that's trying to win a championship that doesn't have a superstar on the roster, go grab Jay Crowder, right? Like, he can start, he can come off the bench, he can shoot, he can defend multiple positions. He's a really good player. He's not a lights-out three-point shooter like he was on the Heat last year, but he's good. And that's he's on Phoenix now. Like, Phoenix is really good. And when you have two ball-dominant players like Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who can score at all three levels, right? Then really what you want around them, you'd like one other dominant offensive player, if you can, and if he could be a rim runner type guy, but not just that, not just DeAndre Jordan, like with other dimension to his game, that's ideal. If he's also a shot blocker, well, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's already an above-average player at his position for a starter. He's almost an all-star. If he just takes the next step to all-star, and who says that's the end of his potential? He was taking over Doncic and everybody in that draft. If DeAndre Ayton, like, that's the biggest question mark on the team, a dude who's already pretty good. were really already good and might about to be really good, and you have a point guard like Chris Paul on the team. Now, who else would you need? 3-and-D guys who do that on a real good level. Cam and Mikal Bridges. I keep forgetting. Cam Jordan, Cam Johnson, Cam. Hold on, Cam. You see what I mean, Raj?
Cam Johnson.
Yeah, you see what I'm doing. Listen, people, it's a version of Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson. How many times on TV do you hear someone saying Russell Wilson when they mean Russell Westbrook? Hold on. Kendrick. There it is. It's dusty in this so-called studio. Kendrick Perkins on the line, on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. But Perk, after all the good things I saw from the Suns, I was more impressed with the Mavericks, who were playing without their second-best player. No matter what the Suns did defensively, I saw a Mavericks team recover and go to the next play. That means the playbook is deep. The team knows it very well. Everyone's where they're supposed to be. They have spacing. Now, they missed some shots. Luka played hero ball a little bit too much in the first half. I was very impressed with the Mavs. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're wrong, because what playbook? The playbook is everyone space out and let run high pick and roll with Luka. Cleaver, you pop. And Luka, you drive. Either you got the basket or you drive and kick, or you hit the guy popping for the shot. Or Luka to the low block. I mean, what playbook would
– Because every time there's a defensive response, they have an answer to the defense. For example, the Suns on offense look much more like a talented team that doesn't have an answer every time. The Suns, when a play would break down, if they had maybe an answer, would then wind up in ISO, right? Like, go get us a bucket, someone who can score, Devin Booker or whoever. That's not the Mavs. The Mavs, boom, right back. They look like a machine to me offensively.
How, Max? How, when they a machine?
Yeah,
a machine. Is when they weren't struggling to get buckets. They struggled to get buckets.
They were missing shots.
Of course you're gonna. Yeah, because Phoenix were making them miss shots, not hoping. Man. I hope did you understand that term when I said it? It's a difference. Phoenix were on them like a on their heels like a pair of socks. And then on top of that, Max, when you talk about the Phoenix Suns. When you talk about the Phoenix Suns, okay, the Suns do go ISO ball for Devin Booker because he's one of the best ISO players in the league. You said it yourself. He's the next thing to Kobe Bryant. Did you not say that?
I said it. I sure did. He is.
Okay, then. So didn't Kobe get a lot of ISOs?
He did. But there were teams like the Spurs, for example. If a play didn't work, boom, they're on to the – like, they recover immediately and go to the next thing, and everyone's where they're supposed to be, right? When you added up the talent on the Spurs, it didn't always add up to the best team in the league, but they always competed with the best if they weren't the best, and many seasons they were, because of the way they were coached. And offensively especially, I see that with the Mavs. There's a reason. They were so efficient offensively last year, and Perk, this was without Porzingis. Don't you think Porzingis in a couple possession game like last night would have made a difference?
I can't say that because Phoenix was out Sockridge last night. They didn't have him. And I look, Max. It was the first game of the season, and I'm not going to overreact. But I will say this: you're saying that the Dallas Mavericks look like a well-oiled machine, and I just didn't see that. Offensively, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. It's not like, oh, you got to guard the Dallas Mavericks for 24 seconds on the shot clock. Watch out for the backdoor cutting. They're running pin downs on one side while they're running a different type of action. They wasn't like the Golden State Warriors with KD, Steph, and Klay, where they was running pick-to-pick actions. They're not doing that.
But I understand what you're saying, Perk. I get that. I think that's a valid point. What I'm saying is a lot of times when a play doesn't work, when something busts, teams get disorganized. What I saw with the Mavs was an immediate response and reorganization on offense immediately. Now, the shots weren't falling, and I do somewhat credit the Suns, right? But I'm saying with your best player out, who's a threat from everywhere in Porzingis, and where there's no size matchup, really, that can really stop him, I think that would have made a difference. I think we're talking about two of the better teams in a great conference. Kendrick Perkins on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What do you think the ceiling is for these teams? What's the ceiling?
To me, I think both of the ceiling for both of these ball clubs is reaching a conference final.
Bingo.
I honestly do. The Mavericks, I wouldn't be surprised if they reached the Western Conference Finals, and the Phoenix Suns, I wouldn't be surprised either if they was to reach the Western Conference Finals. Now, am I picking them to do that? No, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got there.
Right, same. And I might be picking the Mavericks. I got to see how Porzingis looks when he gets back. I think I am picking the Mavericks to get to the Western Conference Finals. But I think you could say that about a lot of teams in the West. I think you could say that about the Lakers are going to be there. So you got one slot open. Could it be the Clippers? To me, the answer is yes. The answer is yes on the Blazers. The answer is yes on the Nuggets. The answer is yes on the Mavs. The answer is yes on Phoenix. That's five different teams, Perk, I think could be there. And, like, New Orleans is looks like they're farther away. But Zion, like, you were sleeping on Zion today on First Take. Zion is a baby, and he already was kind of unstoppable looking when he was healthy last year.
Max, how was I sleeping on him? Just because I said I don't agree that I don't see him being the best player in the league. That don't mean that I'm sleeping on him. I see him possibly, being an all-star, for the rest of his career probably because he's box office and must-see TV because he's a highlight reel. But that don't necessarily say that he's about to be a LeBron James type player.
Well, we can say
that he's the best.
Not LeBron, but he could be something we've never seen before. Like, put it this way, Charles Barkley was not the best player in the NBA, but he wasn't far away from being the best player in the NBA. And I think Zion is physically more capable than Barkley was.
But Max, you can't get caught up in just because Zion have a whack body. See, like when I was in the league, we called bodies like Zion a whack body. No matter how hard you try to get ripped up and get in shape, you just could never turn the corner. Like I had a whack body. Paul Pierce had a whack body.
Please take that clip, Raj.
And just because he looks like a linebacker, you just want to pick him and say, oh, he's something we never seen before. You're damn right. I get it, right? He's 6'5". He's super athletic. He got a stocky build. He don't look like a hooper, but he gets the job
Perk?
Done. That don't mean you put him
Perk?
In a category.
Let me ask you something, Perk. Perk, are you sure that's what whack body meant? Or did you overhear a teammate say that about you, and then they said, no, Perk, that just means that we could whack you, and everything's all right?
No, that's not what that means.
Oh, are you sure? Okay, I just want to check.
No, but what I'm saying is, Max, we can't just put them in that conversation because right now they got a lot of rising stars around the same age as Zion that's going to be around the league for a very long time that could possibly be the face. Look, you just got to name them. Matter of fact, Luka could be the best player in the league for a long period of time. That's why Ja Morant, like, this is a
guard-driven league. Here's the thing about Luka. Luka can get better. And by the way, I have a whack body, too. It used to be a fresh body when I was young, but it's whack now. But I just want to say, Luka could get better. His three-point shooting could get better. I think his decision-making could still get better, and he could obviously improve on defense. But Zion is already an all-star player without a lot of the skills that Luka has, but I wouldn't rule it out that he could develop those skills. Zion is a willing passer. Zion has wiggle to his game at his size and handles for a dude of his weight, right? Zion has the ability, it looks like to me, to develop into a guy who can really shoot, like even though he's big and usually those guys don't have touch. I'm just saying he is where he is right now on his athletic ability, which to me gives him more room for upside as he refines his skills still, and he's so young. This dude is something else. Kendrick Perkins, are you sure that's what whack body means? I need to circle back to that for 1 second because where I'm from, that means something different.
No, I'm telling you, in the NBA terms, whack body means that you could be in shape, but you just could never get ripped up like, a Kevin Garnett or Porzingis or LeBron James. Like, for example, Jokic, he has a whack body. He lost a lot of weight.
I see that. Okay.
He lost a lot of weight, but he never could get chiseled up, Max. That don't mean he's not in shape.
Mm. Well,
you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, Perk. I think that when
they really turn the corner.
You can say you have a whack body, but you have a fresh mind, Perk. That's why I like to talk to you. Definitely. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's too down on himself. We're all just as we should be, right, Raj? Coming down to the wire, NFL whip around coming up. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. See what Perk said about Harden and them, huh? That's why you got to listen to the podcast.
That was last segment. Why are you saying that?
I'm trying to tease the podcast because I'm making up for your mistake. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Vikings at Saints.
Yes, this is the NFL whip around. It's good, Raj, if you had something saying, NFL whip around. Saints are going to beat the Vikings.
The NFL whip around. There you go. Max Kellerman.
There you go. Saints are going to beat the Vikings. First of all, the Saints have lost two in a row, but events conspired. Circumstances conspired to create that situation. They were playing an Eagles team that looked like they were dead in the water. I didn't understand how bad Carson Wentz was. Jalen Hurts takes over, and it's the Eagles are back, right? It happens. And then against the Chiefs, you're playing the best team in football, the defending Super Bowl champions. You don't have Michael Thomas, and you're just coming back from all the fractured ribs and the lungs and everything. But against the Vikings, even on short rest, a team I don't have any confidence in, I think the Saints will be super motivated to get back to their winning ways, and I think they do.
Titans and Packers.
Especially at home, the Saints. See what I did, Roger? Let it bleed over into this one. Packers are going to beat the Titans. The Titans are a good team, but the Titans and the Colts and the Browns are all teams to one degree or another that you just don't believe in at a Super Bowl level, right? You just don't think they can win a Super Bowl. They can win a playoff game. And they're all about evenly matched, Titans, Colts, Browns. Of those three, I like the Titans the best because I most believe in Tannehill compared to Baker Mayfield or Phillip Rivers at this point in his career. But I don't believe in Tannehill or even and the run game. They get great run blocking. They have Derrick Henry the way I believe in Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, right now, if the season ended today, would be the MVP of the league. And I have to believe at home he will be too much, particularly with his receivers right now. He's going to be too much for the Titans. And the Packers' defense has come along as the season has progressed. The Packers are going to beat the Titans. I'm taking the Saints at home. I'm taking the Packers at home.
Colts and Steelers.
The Steelers, however, even though they seem to be in free fall, and I don't think they're as bad as everyone thinks they are, this is a bad matchup for them. This is the Colts can play some defense. And given the offensive problems on the Steelers right now, I really do think that the AFC North will come down to the final game of the season, or at least week 17, Steelers-Browns. And that is because I think the Colts beat the Steelers. The Steelers are not playing well right now. The Colts are. And furthermore, though they both have ancient quarterbacks from the same class, by the way, right? Rivers and Roethlisberger. And by the way, I think if you asked most people who was the best quarterback out of the Eli, Roethlisberger, Rivers class, Eli went first, Rivers went fourth, and Roethlisberger went ninth or tenth, I want to say. And I would say Roethlisberger, probably most people would say. And at this moment in their careers, I think I'd still take Roethlisberger over Rivers, as bad as Roethlisberger's looked recently. But the Colts beat the Steelers. The defense is playing well, and the Steelers' offense is not.
Giants and Ravens.
Okay, I'm forced to take the upset here because my Giants cannot get to the playoffs if they lose to the Ravens. And I'm going to say Daniel Jones is going to come and play, and his mobility will be better than it was against Arizona. And the Giants' defense is going to home in on Lamar Jackson, and somehow, against all odds, the Giants go on the road and upset the Ravens to set up a last week showdown against the Cowboys for the NFC East crown. I think it'll come down to the Giants beating the Cowboys and need a little help from Washington, because if they finish with the same record as the Giants, Giants own the tiebreaker, beat the Washington franchise twice, Giants are going to get crowned. Yeah.
Max, they're double-digit underdogs. You sure you want to do this on national radio?
I'm doing it on national radio. I have faith in my G-men, in Big Blue. I'm not going to abandon them. Now, if Daniel Jones doesn't play, that's a different story. But I'm banking on Daniel Jones playing and playing well.
Eagles and Cowboys.
Let me tell you something. The Cowboys, every time you leave them for dead, they pop up a little bit and they go, not in this NFC East, you can't leave them for dead. But I got to tell you that Doug Peterson, I said, get rid of Peterson, get rid of everyone on the Eagles associated with this mess that the team has become, starting with Carson Wentz if you can, because he has a very hard contract to trade. Get rid of Howie Roseman, the GM, get rid of Doug Peterson, the coach. Because Peterson was coaching in such a way that told me he wanted to get out of there, right? But no, he was just frustrated with Wentz, I think. No, Peterson's a hell of a coach. Look at that. Look at team looks like when anyone but Carson Wentz is the quarterback. I think the Eagles are a much better team than we gave them credit for, and Doug Peterson's a much better coach. And as soon as you have a competent quarterback in there, look what happened. They beat the Saints, the hottest defense in the league. They followed it up with a good performance against a solid team. I think they beat the Cowboys on the road.
Buccaneers at Lions.
The Bucs are a very good team. And, you know, look, I would say don't get fooled by the fact that they fell down to the Falcons. They wouldn't be the first time that Tom Brady did it or that a team this year has fallen down to the Falcons and come back on them. I know they're going on the road. I don't think much of the Detroit Lions, and the Bucs really have everything a team needs to be a successful playoff team. It's the reason I think Tom Brady is heading for an 11-win season when I would have guessed 10 before the season started. But, you know, I think he's a game better than I thought he'd be and two games better than some thought he'd be. He's used his weapons well. He has a lot of them, and he has talent on the defense. The Lions are not a good team. The Bucs win.
Dolphins at Raiders.
It's funny, you know, Dolphins were my sleeper pick, and the Raiders were Stephen A's sleeper pick on First Take, and the Raiders are no longer, I think, a sleeper pick, obviously. Well, they can't be. But I still have this feeling about the Dolphins and Flores and Tua. You know, like, if you look at the schedule and look at the records, the Dolphins shouldn't make the playoffs. I think somehow they will. And I think they beat the Raiders on the road. The Dolphins have a nice quarterback in Tua already. I think he's going to be special still. And they have a real a hungry defense that gets after it and a good coach. Dolphins over Raiders on the road. That's it. There's a whip around. I whipped it right around. Did you see the look on Raj, my producer in L.A.? We're on a Zoom, you know, so I have a computer in front of me. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, I'm in New York. Yeah. It's COVID. You know, everything's remote, and Raj is in L.A. And when the whistle blows and we're on to the next game, and then I circle back to the previous game because I still had something to say, you look like you found something you didn't like in your Cheerios in the morning.
Yeah, man, I'm about to throw a flag. That's a false start. False start. That's not how the game's supposed to be played.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Final last take of the year is all yours, America.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I did an NFL whip around, and I said I was going to take some calls, and I might. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, a Dr. Pepper call-in line. But I got to go over our slate tomorrow. I realize I'd be remiss if I did not go over our NBA slate tomorrow, because this is, you know, ESPN, this is or really all of Christmas, is an amazing Christmas Day slate of NBA games. It's an amazing Christmas Day slate. I can't remember a slate of games better than this. Think about what's at stake. Nets Celtics. What did you already see from KD? Oh, my God, he's back. This is a real thing. He already looks like 80% of himself. Day one, at least, right? Nets are going to the finals. But then you look at the Celtics, you go, hold up, they beat the Bucks. They're the divisional favorites, like, statistically. by the odds, the analytics. They beat the Bucks day one. Jaylen Brown is a two-way stud. I mean, you know, we already knew he was trending in that direction, but he looks like he's arrived there. No Kemba, no Gordon Hayward anymore. No problem. Whoa. Nets-Celtics is such a great matchup. Easily could be the Eastern Conference Finals. Pelicans-Heat. You know who the Pelicans have on that roster now? In the backcourt, Lonzo and Bledsoe. Like, is either one perfect? No, but they can both do a lot of things. Steven Adams is on that team now at the five. Reddick, shoot, like, you need some shoot. Well, if you have Adams and you have Bledsoe and Lonzo and Zion, right, you're going to need some shooting. Actually, Brandon Ingram could shoot it among the many things he can do nowadays. But how's J.J. Reddick? You think he can shoot it? Pelicans are an interesting team, and obviously, you know, the Heat are. He could easily wind up back in the finals. Like, it could easily happen. That is a deep team with ascending stars. Like, you think Jimmy Butler, and okay, they're somewhat limited because Butler's not quite an MVP, and he's their best player. But Bam is getting better every year, and so is Tyler Hero. Warriors at Bucks. Now, I don't think the Warriors shoot it well enough, but they do have a lot of athletes on that team. I mean, you get the five Wiseman, you have the second pick in the draft with a very high floor for a big. And isn't that funny nowadays? That means, like, because bigs don't really have high ceilings, right? But with a very high floor for a big. And, which is crazy in a sport that selects out for height. And Wiggins, a former number one pick, and those aren't their best players, right? Steph Curry. Like, obviously the Bucks, like, the Bucks are supposed to be the beasts of the East. I don't know. Drew Holiday is a nice pickup, but he's not a superstar. Even though he plays great in the playoffs, he's not a superstar, and he's not a great shooter. You know, and if Brook Lopez's downward slide in terms of his 3-point shooting continues, now what are you talking about? Where are you making that up? DiVincenzo, boy, he better take a step forward, because Middleton showed you he's not enough with the freak. Meantime, Mavs at Lakers. I think if someone had to say, okay, what is, just drop all the BS. If everyone's healthy, what's the Western Conference Finals? Mavs-Lakers. Mavs at Lakers, right? Lakers will have home court, and Mavs will be the... I thought the Mavs were clearly better than the Clippers until Porzingis got hurt. And remember, when Nuggets came back on the Clippers, they had to come all the way back. It was a seven-game series. Now, I don't think they would have done that to the Mavs. Like, Jamal Murray and Jokic are a problem. Is Jamal Murray as good as Luka? Jokic may be better than Porzingis, but this is what I'm saying about Porzingis. People sleep. Porzingis, no one thinks of him as an MVP caliber player. Just imagine Porzingis is fully healthy and he continues going up, because that's the direction he's heading. Are we sure Jokic is better than that? Porzingis is like half a foot taller. Jokic, he's 7'3", people. I love Mavs at Lakers. You got it. It's a great matchup. And he's not available now at this point in the season, but that's a great matchup. And Clippers Nuggets in a rematch. That's a tremendous Christmas slate, considering the season just started. Just started, and all Christmas. Nets Celtics, Zion at Heat, Steph at Giannis, Luka at LeBron, and Kawhi at Jokic and Murray. Ooh. All day. Ignore the kids on Christmas. It's great. Ignore the whole family. Just watch sports. And if they want to have a relationship with you, they can also learn how to watch sports. That's where I stand. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, everybody. See you next year.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.